First Corinthians chapter 15. Appreciate that good testimony. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord say so. Every now and then we ought to open our mouth and say so. Amen. God's been good to you. You ought to brag on him. You ought to tell about it. Amen. I'm talking about at school, at work, everywhere you go. You ought to just say, hey, God's been good to me. Tell somebody if the Lord's blessed your heart. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at a few verses this morning. And normally this is verses we'd read at a funeral or a gravesite. But I'm going to read them this morning because it's what's on my heart. And I struggled last night till about 2 o'clock this morning, going back and forth and back and forth, when the Lord just kept leading me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Won't you look with me at verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be saved. Somebody say it with me.
Shame.
Well, I'm looking for that, ain't you?
Amen.
I ain't going to preach there this morning, but I'm glad there's change coming. Let me say it again. I'm glad there's change coming. Out of this old body that's decaying. Everywhere I go, everybody talks about how I still look young and how I retained my youth. Well, I decided to grow a beard while I was on vacation. And I found out where the gray was. It ain't on my head, it was all in my face. Amen. I started looking in the mirror and I thought, man, you look old. This old body's a dying. This old body's getting older every day. But I'm glad one day. I'm glad there's a change coming. Amen. For those who know Christ, there is a change coming. Whatever's bothering you, whatever's ailing you, all that'll be done away with. Like John said, we don't know what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him. That's good enough for me. How about you? I'm going to get home right there. I better go. Verse number 52. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And he says it again, and we shall be changed. I can't explain all that.
You're right.
There's no way I can take and tell you how that's going to happen. All I can tell you is the almighty power of God will raise a corruptible body into one that's incorruptible. Amen. I don't understand it, but look here, I believe it.
Amen.
And if you have to believe it, say amen.
Amen.
I don't really understand it, but I do believe it. It's simply fine for it to happen this afternoon at about 3 o'clock during that memorial service. It wouldn't bother me one bit whatsoever to hear a trumpet sound. And see the lid come off that urn and them ashes come together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just start jumping up because I'm next. Amen. Hallelujah. Suit me just fine. He said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in, say it with me.
Victory.
Death is swallowed up in, say it again.
Victory.
For the world, or for somebody who don't know Christ, death is defeat. Would you agree? I've heard people use the terminology a lot of times, Brother Freddie, so-and-so lost their battle with cancer, or they lost their battle with leukemia. They consider that thing of dying a battle, and I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I've heard people lean over a deathbed of a dying loved one and say, Daddy, you got to fight. Mama, you got to fight. And then finally they'll reach the point and they'll say, Daddy, it's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and be for the Lord. Amen. For the world, death is the end. But for the child of God, it's the greatest victory of all. Amen. He said, death is swallowed up in victory. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, I'm going in one side, but thanks be unto God, I'm coming out on the other. Death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the, say it again,
victory
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a couple of times in this passage of Scripture, this entire chapter, Paul is dealing with the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of our bodies from the dead. Evidently, the Corinthian church is having some doubts about the resurrection, and Paul is reassuring them, hey, Jesus got up. And because Jesus got up, glory to God, one of these days, these old vile bodies that we have, we'll get up. But in verses 51 through 58, victory. Victory. You know what victory is? Winning. Everybody loves victory. Amen. You love to see a victory. You love to cheer for your team. I remember when the Atlanta Braves won the NLCS. Y'all remember that? When old Sid Breen come limping around third base and slid into home, and that announcer, I'll never forget, that announcer said, Braves win! Braves win! Braves win! I shouted in the living room, hey, I ain't never been a Brave. I ain't never met none of the Braves. I don't know none of the Braves. But man, I was happy. My team won, amen? We enjoy victory. Every one of us do. Now look up here at me, child of God. If you're saved, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, the ultimate victory for you and I is guaranteed.
Amen.
We just read it in the Scriptures. It's guaranteed. My dear friend sat down on a cement block on Friday on the job. He stood up and fell straight up because they said he was dead before he hit the ground. You say, oh man, how horrible. It is. It's hard. It's tough on the family. It's tough on me as a friend. But I got a promise.
Amen.
What's a losing battle for the family and what is a defeat for the family, for him was a total victory.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God I enjoy some victory.
Amen.
I get tired of hearing all whining. Amen. 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 Sometimes I think I want to back out there and change the name of our church to Whining Baptist Church. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody loved to talk about their problem. Boy, it got quiet. Listen, I'm not making light of the trouble. We've all got it. Everybody does. But thank God that's not the whole of our story. I'm glad our story goes a little beyond the heartaches and the trials and the difficulties. I'm glad our story goes beyond the financial problems and all the other things, the relationship problems. I'm glad our story doesn't end here. If our story ended here, I would honestly have to say it'd be a pretty sad story. My story doesn't end there. Brother Philip, I got to thinking last night, I was laying there in the bed tossing and turning, and I got to thinking about all the great victories in the Bible. You go through that Old Testament, there is some amazing stuff in there. Throw me your stick there, Brother Jason. I can just see old Moses with his rod. I can just see old Moses standing at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army on his back. There ain't nowhere to go. There ain't no way out. And God said, hey, Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, oh, it's a rod. Moses looked at them children and said, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And old Moses raised that rod. And that Red Sea parted. That water stood up like a wall on either side. 5 million Jews walked across on dry land. And then God drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. Somebody said, well, the Red Sea was actually the Reed Sea. And it was only about 2 foot deep. Well, that's a miracle in itself. God drowned an entire army in 2 foot of water. But I read that story and I think, why? I read about David and Goliath, and David walking down into that valley, just a young man, the valley of Elah, and there stood that great giant, some 10 foot tall, and here's this little shepherd boy with a sling on a rock. That's cool to me. That giant falls down dead, and he chops off his head. That's a victory, isn't it?
Amen.
thought about Daniel as he prayed and defied the king and opened his window three times a day. That's before he began to pray to God, and they threw him in that lion's den.
Yeah.
Hungry lion, starving lion. That's a victory, wasn't it? I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they heated up that furnace seven times hotter than a flame, and as the soldiers threw them in, the heat killed the soldiers. And they threw them boys in there, and the king comes back and said, "Hey, didn't we throw three bound into that furnace?" They said, "Yes, O king." He said, "Well, I see four.
That's right.
Up walking around, and one looks to me like the Son of God." That's a victory. I got to thinking about all those fascinating stories, and we read them over and over and rehearse them in our mind. And sometimes we get to thinking that we don't have a story. Well, I no disrespect to Moses. No disrespect to David or to Daniel or to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But it hit me last night about 1:45 in the morning. I got a story that theirs cannot compare to. I got a story that outdoes them all. Hallelujah. I didn't just get delivered from the lion's den. I didn't just cross the Red Sea. I didn't get delivered from a fiery furnace. But because I got delivered from a fiery head. I didn't just get a physical victory.
Amen.
I got a spiritual victory.
Amen.
Heaven is my home.
Amen.
I don't understand it. I don't deserve it. I've done nothing to earn it. He just marked that debt fully paid.
Amen.
I didn't even tell the choir what to sing this morning, Brother Charles. And it just lined up. Thank God he paid a debt. He did not owe. When I owed a debt, I could not pay. Thank God I've got victory in Jesus this morning. How about you? Somebody ought to shout about it. Glory to God. Give you a couple of areas and we got to get. But I want to tell you this morning that God has guaranteed us, and that's what Paul has devoted this chapter to, we have victory over debt. We have victory over death. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not fussing at anybody for mourning. The Bible said in Lamentations, there's time to mourn.
That's right.
Amen. There is a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. And we lose our loved ones, we shed tears and we cry. Then ain't no doubt about it. Brother Freddie's dad died, got saved the week before. We knew he was in heaven, but yet still that heart breaks. That heart breaks for the hurting family. I'll weep with the Sullivan family today.
Oh, yes.
Ain't no doubt about it. They're my friends and I love them. I can't imagine the heartache of that love. Who's already buried one son and now another. I cannot imagine. There's no way I could put my arm around her and say, "I know how you feel." I can't even fathom that. And if they sat there today with smiles on their faces, something would be wrong. Sure, our heart breaks. Our heart breaks at the loss of love. But thank God that's not the end for us. Thank God that's not the end for us. Hey, we have a deep set of peace inside our heart. Even though we may weep for a little while and we may mourn for a little while, down inside we know if they're saved, we're going to see them again. Thank God. He's devoted this entire chapter. Hey, he's trying to give those who believe in him, and talking about the Lord, he's trying to convince them that they have absolute victory over death. You say by entering death, talking about Jesus Christ, by going to Calvary and entering death. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. He gave his own life. Nobody took it.
That's right.
As he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he entered that valley of the shadow of death. They put him in a barred tomb 3 days later. You know the story? Up he came. He arose. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. For me and for you. Well, the Bible said, we just read the verse, death is swallowed up in victory. I love the terminology the old King James Bible uses. Amen. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, there ain't another. Amen. I love that. He said, "On death, where is thy sting?"
Amen.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? thing.
Yes.
I remember years ago reading the story about a little boy crawled up in his mama's lap on the porch on a hot summer day, and he was loving on his mama, and his mama was loving on him. All of a sudden, the little boy squeezed her real hard and began to shake, and she said, "What's the matter? What's the matter, honey?" He said, "Mama, you see that big old bee?" She said, "Yeah, I see that bee, honey." She said, "Well," he said, "Well, I'm scared." He said, "Why are you?" She said, "Why are you scared, baby?" He said, "I'm scared that bee's going to sting me." She said, "Honey, you don't have to be afraid. That bee's not going to sting you." He said, "But Mom, how do you know?" And she held out her hand. She said, "You see that right there?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "That bee's going to be just a while." She reached the back of her hand and pulled that sting. She said, "He can't stay here."
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I've got this sting. Woo! I'm glad one day Jesus at Calvary reached out the dead and pulled out the stinger and said, "If you believe in me, yes, it will not sting you. I'll remove the stinger out of death." Thank God we can't have victory.
Yes, sir.
Over death. How? By the way, we're all doing. We're all good. I hear all the time, "Did you hear so-and-so is dying?" And I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
But we're all good.
Yes, sir. Yes,
some of us quicker than others.
Right.
But we're all good.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Tim, I get in the shower this morning, I thought about all the people over the years we buried that we grew up with.
Yeah.
People that we went to school with. People our age, man. I remember when I thought 51 was old. Stacy Smart Mouth Bullock had to remind me I can't say 51 much longer. I'll be 52. I remember when I thought that was old, Brother Charles. Can you imagine? I looked at 50-year-old men like, that's an old man. Their life's done. It's over, ain't it? Then we're all dying. Our bodies are falling apart. Then Brother Jason's got to go get replacement parts. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, we're all dying. The Bible said it's appointed unto man who wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Hey, look up here and listen real good. You're going to die.
Yeah.
I remember in my 20s and 30s, man, we live like we're going to live forever. Forever.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if we had known what the 50s was going to be like, we'd have took better care of ourselves. In between. You may say, "Man, I thank you." I was thinking the other day, I need to start exercising. I thought, "Nah, it's too late." It's too late. It's too much not work. Amen. We're all dying. It's going to happen to every one of us. So how do you know? Well, that's life.
Amen.
We're living in an old vile body.
Yes, we are.
It's full of faults. Failure. It's like a car. It ain't going to run forever. It's going to get so many miles on it, and it's going to poop.
Amen.
I'm glad for us it's not the end.
Amen.
Death is probably, or I'm pretty sure, the greatest fear in all the world. Dying. Everybody thinks about it. I guarantee you today at 3 o'clock in that funeral home, everybody in that place is going to think about it. They're going to think about how suddenly their life can be gone. Here 1 second and gone the next. The Bible said your life is as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away.
Amen.
I guarantee you the last thing on Terry's mind on the way to work Friday morning was not coming home. But we're all going to do it. Listen, I'm glad I can announce to you this morning, it's something you don't have to fear.
Amen.
I'm not saying I want to go today. I'm not in no rush. I'm not rushing the Lord. I want to see my grandbabies grow up and all that kind of stuff. I might get some more grandbabies. Amen. 5 ain't enough. I need at least a half a dozen. Amen.
Amen.
More grandbabies. That'd be a blessing. I want to see all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But if my ticket got punched, it'd be all right. I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my children. I don't want to leave my church. Brother Johnson would be all right. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to die. Why? He took the sting out of me. He took the sting out. I have a confidence in my heart that that grave ain't the end. That last breath that goes out of this body, that won't be the last one, I tell you. I was talking on the phone to Tony yesterday, Terry's brother, and I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it. And Tony said several times during our conversation, he said, Eddie, they said that he is more likely dead before he hit the ground. I thought about it. In the time it took him to fall from an upright position to his face hit the ground.
Yeah.
Somewhere between here and there.
Yeah.
Now y'all stay with me. Somewhere between here and there. I mean, I figured that's about how long it took. Wouldn't you think? Just from here to there. Somewhere in there. He led.
Amen.
Somewhere between vertical and horizontal. Terry, check that. He said, how do you know? I led him to the Lord.
Right.
He got saved on my front porch. I'm carried in his spot. I can show you where his tears fell on the grave.
Yeah.
The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present to the Lord. Yeah. There ain't no doubt in my mind where he's at. Thank God that my heart's breaking for the family, but inside, I'm rejoicing today. Why? Because I have a promise of victory.
Amen.
Over death. It's not the end. It's just beginning. I thought about this last night, Miss Ready. I don't know how many. I can count them up because I save all the memorial cards from the funeral home. I know it's probably more of it, but I save them. I have two shoeboxes completely full. Over the last, I don't know, I'm just going to say the last 5 years, probably over 100. Well over 100, I imagine. Funerals that we've had, that we took part in. People in our church, people related to people in our church. We've had good meeting this year.
Amen.
I ain't gonna guess a lot. More, I would say more than most churches. I would. I even big churches. I don't know what it is, but we've had a lot of people. And I was thinking, and I was rejoicing in the fact that I can count on one hand out of hundreds of funerals over this year. I can count on one hand the times I had to stand over a body.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
If Terry hadn't came to my house the day of his brother's funeral, if Terry hadn't bowed on my front porch and trusted Christ as a Savior, I don't know if I could do what I got to do at 3:00. But because of this promise, I get to stand and look at this broken body of mama and say, we're going to see Terry. I'm going to get to look at Cindy, that broken-hearted sister, and say, honey, we're going to see him again. I'm going to look at that brother, be able to look at Tony and say, we're going to be able to see Terry again. Hey, he's not gone. He's in heaven.
Amen.
Thank God we got a promise of victory over death. Let me move on. I got to hurry. Thank God he not only gives us victory over death, but he gives us victory over deception.
Right.
Deception. You know what this world is? It's deceived.
Yes, sir.
It's deceived. Now, I don't want to get too political this morning, but I've been listening to all the articles. And you look at that one side, and I won't say which side, but they got a woman running on their side. And you get to listen to their ideology and their talk and what they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. But here's the thing. They believe it.
Yeah. Right.
They believe that stuff with all their heart.
Right.
They are thoroughly convinced that killing an unborn baby is not murder.
Right.
That it's humane.
Yeah.
Yet I see a dog in my front yard. They put me in jail.
Oh.
It's a sick world, man.
Yes,
when a dog has more value on its life
Amen.
Than a child.
Amen.
Somebody help me right here. Don't get mad. Give me my best Joel Osteen. It's murder all day long, man.
Amen.
are convinced. You know what they are? They're deceived.
Yes, sir.
They're blind. Oh, if they take away my guns, that's going to solve all the problems. Right. When they take the law-abiding citizens' guns, guess who still has them?
That's right.
Man, y'all dying. Y'all want me to go back to that picture over death thing, don't you? We look at that crowd and go, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I remember a day when I was deceived.
Yes, sir.
And I bet you remember a day when you was deceived.
Right.
You remember sitting in a church pew and telling yourself, you're okay.
Yes, come on, preacher.
Convincing yourself, you're all right. I remember sitting in the pew of Wild Oak Springs growing up, me and Tim and Colton and Roger, all us boys acting a fool. Hearing old Charles Williams preach on hell, that big old long finger looked like he'd go to back law. I remember Ed Ballou coming in revival. I remember Brother Edward Thomas coming in revival. I remember Sandy Adams coming and preaching on hell. And I remember telling myself, you're all right.
Yeah.
You're a member of White Oak Spring Baptist Church. You're okay. You got baptized when you're 6 years old. You're all right. Deceived.
Amen.
Probably got some people in this room this morning. Deceived. Back up in verse number 56, Paul mentions the problem. He said the sting of death is what? Everybody, sin. Sin is what deceives us. Sin will blind you. They don't call anything sin no more. Everything's a sickness or a lifestyle. Don't dry up on them. It's still sin. It's still, let me say it again, it's still sin. We can excuse our sin. We can give it pretty names, but it doesn't change what it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. We used to show hogs in FFA. Hogs, H-O-G-G-Hogs. Before we'd go to the show, we used to show them down here at Carroll County Sale Barn, and we'd go to the hog show down there, and we'd go down to Perry, Georgia and show hogs.
Yeah.
I raised a grand champion hog, Chester White. That wasn't his name, that's the kind of hog he is. His name was Link. And I'm telling you, now he's a boar hog to you. Patty didn't work. The day before we went to that hog show, we get them hogs out and you ever wash a pig? That's a job. We'd wash them pigs, get them slick as a whistle. We didn't trim the hair off their ears. I mean, I'd make them look pretty if you can make a pig look pretty. We'd take that pig that show you and take the walking tank, tap it on the shoulder, which way you want to go, walk that pig around them judges, look at that pig, then we'd sell. After that show, they put them pigs back there in the lot. You walk back there and that pig, you spend hours cleaning. Trimming his ears. He's rolling in the mud. And I'm saying mud to be nice. You know why? He's a pig. He's a pig. No matter how you try to clean it up, no matter how much you try to pretty it up, it's still a pig. No matter how light you try to make sin, how it's socially acceptable you try to make sin, that you might dress it up, you might call it by a pretty name, but brother and sister, it's still sin. And it's sin that demands a judgment with God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We will all stand before God. Amen. But I'm glad one day I was deceived no longer about my sin.
Amen.
I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy at a New Year's Eve party, I realized I was dying and on my way to hell. For the very first time in my life, I was no longer just Sandra White's son. I was no longer a member of Hattie of Wild Spring Baptist Church. For the first time in my life, God said, "What's your name?" And I said, "I'm a sinner, that's who I am."
Amen.
And if I die in the state I'm in, I'll bust hell wide open. Probably very few preachers in America this morning even mention the word baptism.
Right.
I will. If we die without Christ, that's where we'll spend eternity. If we die in our deception, I'm okay. And you know, that's what a lot of the preaching is today.
Right.
I'm okay. You're okay. Let's all just hug.
Yeah, you're right.
Group hug. That's the most popular thing in America.
Amen.
Feel better about yourself.
Right.
You're bigger, better you. I don't know about bigger, better, but some of you getting bigger by the way. That's the gist of their message. You're all right.
Yeah.
You're okay. I remember our youth choir singing years ago, and I won't say what church, but our youth choir was singing in a revival, and a young girl came out of the congregation and got down to the altar. One of our young ladies come out of the youth choir and was praying with her. And she began to take her Bible and go through the scripture. And the pastor was nervous as he could be. And he bowed down there in front of that little girl and he said, honey, what are you doing? She said, preacher, I need to get saved. He said, you're okay. You're okay. You go on back to your mother. Or she got up, that girl out of our youth choir, took that girl's hand, took her ink pen, and said, here, call me. Her own pastor. I'm talking about a Baptist church. Well, the young lady instead of a teenage girl saying, I need to get saved. You're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. He was just nervous because it was out of the norm. It wasn't the right invitation. And she came at the wrong time. Everybody's not okay. Everybody's not going to heaven when they die. Hey, I'm glad. Thanks be unto God because of the victory that I have over that deception. I know where I'm going. I know that I'm saved. How about you? Is that thing nailed down solid in your heart? Do you know? You said, I don't believe you can. The Bible said you can. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Thank God we can know. I have victory this morning over death. I have victory over that deception that I'm okay. The Bible said, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I had a man tell me one day he'd never seen it. I said, you just did it.
Amen.
Again, why?
Amen.
You say no to that, you just did it. If you've lied, you've broken one of God's commandments. You've broken God's law.
That's right.
Amen.
You ever coveted? You know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
You said, no, I don't cut it. Ooh, I wish I had that truck.
Oh, yeah.
Pass that fast boat on the way to church and go, ooh, boy, look good in my driveway.
Yeah.
Hear that Harley robot? Yeah. I wish I had that.
Amen.
We've all sinned. There's none good. The Bible said, no, not one.
Amen.
You know what I am this morning? You know what you're looking at? You're looking at sin. You know what I'm looking at? A bunch of them. I don't kick anybody's God this morning, but y'all remember a few months back when the Pope came to town?
Yeah.
People were falling at his feet. Oh, just wanting to touch him. I'm like, you're a girl. He's a sinner too. How can he absolve or pray for my sin? He got his own.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's not true than the Bible, man.
That's
right.
I'll take the Bible over anything the Catholic
says.
Amen.
There's only one Holy Father.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Thank God I can stand here today and say, I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've got victory over that thing called death. I've got victory over this thing of deception. Lastly, and I'm done. I'm glad of this. I have victory over damnation.
Amen.
My punishment, my sins. You ever got sinners? I never have. I've never stood before a judge. I've never had a jury decide whether I was innocent or guilty. It's a good thing. There's a lot of things I should have stood before a judge for. By His grace, I never did. I had a sentence. The Bible said in John chapter number 3, I was condemned already.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, oh, I just can't stand a Baptist preacher condemning everybody. No, I don't have to condemn anybody.
Right.
If you're not saved, the Bible said you're condemned already. Your judgment is already settled.
Yes, sir.
And it's an eternity in a place called hell. Listen, when the Bible speaks of death, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. When the Bible speaks of death, it's not just you're going to the graveyard and they're going to put a marble stone over your head and come by and put flowers and visit you every now and then. That ain't the end. You will spend eternity somewhere. A place called heaven or a place called hell. And the choice is clearly up to you. I don't know about you. That's not a real hard decision. I'll take heaven over hell any day of the week. Death is eternal. In other words, in hell, what you're going to do is you're going to die forever and ever and ever. Nobody wants to think about it. No, nobody wants to think about hell. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Nobody even wants to really say amen to the preacher when he's preaching about hell.
You're right.
But it's a reality. And while we sat here rejoicing, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. And we rejoice in that because we're saved. And while we're rejoicing, people are dying and going to hell every single day.
You're right, preacher.
Amen. Thank God we have convictions over that damnation. You know what Jesus did? Some of you ain't like this. He did it for me. He did it for me. I give you this story, but I'm talking about this is something close. We as kids, my little sister Pam, Robert, she stole a cigarette for months. No, she don't smoke them, she smoked them first. Pam stole one of Mama's cigarettes, and I used to eat. And Mama started questioning. Who done it? I didn't do it. Pam said, I didn't do it. I said, Mom, I swear I didn't do it. Pam said, Mom, I swear I didn't do it either. She said, well, here's what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to whip you both. So one of you owns up too. Well, my little sister is the biggest coward that ever lived on the face of the planet. She can look you in the head and have a heart attack. But she starts screaming bloody murder. I pick at her and give her a hard time because I love my little sister. I said, Mom, I did. My little sister looked at me. I said, yeah, Mom, I took it. She said, come to the bedroom. You know what my sister never did all that day? After she was grown, she didn't own up to it then. I went back in that bedroom, dropped them Levi's, and I took her punishment. That's what Jesus did to Calvary. He deserves hell. Yes, Father, I know. He deserves to burn forever and ever and ever. Yes, Father, I know. But I'll take his punishment. Thank God for the victory we have in Jesus this morning. Let's stand up.